Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The truth is that we are all on a journey. Maybe we're not traveling anywhere physically, but we're all on a journey of sorts. Maybe you've heard it called life's journey. Along the way, you'll be part of several different communities. You'll meet people. You'll have conversations. You'll learn things. Whether you're actually traveling from place to place, or if you're just lazing around home on a day off, or if you're working diligently, it's all part of the journey. Even the mundane day-to-day interactions and goings-on are a leg of this journey. And so what happens in our text for today is all of a sudden we see these disciples of Jesus, and they're doing something that is very, very normal, very regular, very mundane, very sort of unimportant. They had just been in Jerusalem for the Passover. Now they are traveling back to Emmaus. Literally, like taking an afternoon car ride. That is what is going on here. And much like your own life's journey, these two disciples of Jesus are traveling from place to place, doing what they would normally do. And they're having a conversation. You know, we oftentimes, when we get together with other people, we'll talk about current events, we'll talk about political things, we'll talk about the weather, we'll talk about all sorts of stuff with each other. Well, the hot topic of the day was Jesus' death. Jesus' death and this apparent a report that had come down that he had been risen from the dead. But as of yet, these disciples, they don't understand. And in the midst of their mundane life, Jesus quite literally and physically comes near to them. Now, even though these men were followers of Jesus, their eyes were kept from recognizing them. For some reason, they just didn't realize that the very topic of their conversation was standing in their midst, literally traveling down the road with them. You know, one of those situations where if your ears are burning, you know someone's speaking about you. Well, he's standing there and they don't even realize they're talking about him. And Jesus even tells us the reason that their eyes are kept from recognizing him. O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? How does that tell us anything about the eyes of these disciples? Well, what it shows us is that Jesus doesn't want his disciples to cling to him physically. They don't want them to sort of be like, oh, here's the body of Jesus as a man, as he's standing here. He doesn't want them to worship him in that way. Instead, he wants them to cling to him as the very word of God. In fact, we get this testimony over and over again after the resurrection. Think about it. In our gospel text for today, Jesus opens to them Moses and the prophets. That's God's word. That was the scripture they had at that time. At Easter sunrise, when the angel comes and Mary is there at the tomb, the angel says, remember how he told you. Again, pointing back to Jesus' words. Later on, when Jesus actually even appears to Mary, he uses the words, do not cling to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. He says, I'm not going to be here in my body. Don't cling to my body. And then later, he tells his apostles, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And immediately after speaking those words, he rises into heaven. Jesus' last words on this earth in his physical body are, "Hold fast to the word." And the reason he gives such a strong exhortation for the word before he ascends into heaven is because Jesus realizes something about his disciples. All of his disciples, you and me included. Slow of heart to believe. The truth is, you and I, we have the testimony of the Old Testament, with all of its prophecies about how Jesus is coming into the world. And then what's better, what the early church did not quite have, but we have today, is the entirety of the New Testament, which proclaims Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. God has even told you how you ought to live as a Christian. He's told you what you should expect in life. He's showed you how to be prepared on the last day when he comes again, and even how to have a blessed death. It's all in Scripture. It's all literally found in those pages. But more often than we would like to admit, Jesus' disciples don't understand the Scriptures. Sometimes we don't understand them because of our ignorance. We literally ignore God's word. Sometimes we don't understand because maybe we come to the Lord's service and we allow the word to go in one ear and out the other. Some people said that it's the walk to the car. That somehow between the church doors and the door of your car, everything falls out of your mind. Or maybe we simply just misinterpret it. We consider the Bible to be a closed book because there's too much going on. And so let's do a little test. For instance, when you hear about your sin, what's your first reaction? Do you immediately think, "I need to fix this. I need to stop doing this sin"? Well, that's great, and that's part of repentance, but that's not what Scripture teaches about how to get rid of sin. It says the only way to get rid of sin is to receive forgiveness from Jesus Christ. You cannot set it right on your own. Only Jesus can offer the proper sacrifice for your sin. Only he can empower you to live a holy life through the power of his Holy Spirit. But so often when we hear about our sin, we go, "Well, how can I fix it?" You can't. But Jesus can. Or if you've ever thought about how, you know, good people get to go to heaven and evil people deserve to go to hell, well, then Scripture says that all people are evil. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. The Bible says all people are evil. That we cannot be worthy of heaven by our words or actions. But it does say that the righteous Son of God dies on the cross to take your place, to give you his worthiness. And he takes all of your unworthiness, your deserving of hell evilness, onto himself. My friends, the truth is that Jesus knows he won't be around after the ascension. At least not in a way that we understand. At least not in a way as we see each other. And this too is precisely why God gives us a community, a church to gather in. In our introit for today, it seemed a little strange talking about how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, and something about oil running down a beard, right? It's talking about how great it is to be a community, to be a church, a place where God's anointed one will come and proclaim God's word. How great it is to be one of these Emmaus disciples who can come and receive from Jesus, not in his physical earthly body that he was raised in, but to receive as a community from God's word. Not only as we all hear it proclaimed the same in God's church, but even as we proclaim it to each other, rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn. You see, like the rest of the church, we spend time in God's word. Because the truth is, that is how he draws near to you. As we're all traveling together this road to heaven, Jesus comes near to you. In Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and the writings of Luke and Paul and Peter and John, this word is your salvation. Because it's all about Jesus being crucified and risen for you and for your forgiveness. The truth is that every jot, every tittle, every single verse, sentence, word of Scripture is about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Every passage is meant to solidify and reinforce what Jesus has done for you. It's literally meant to gift you with the blood and death of your Savior, to reassure you of His resurrection and victory over sin, death, and the devil. And so, if you've ignored God's word, if you've let it pass in one ear and out the other, if you've flat out misunderstood what it was saying, know that the primary message of the entirety of Scripture is you are forgiven. Everyone who is slow to believe, everyone who hears these words and believes them, you are forgiven because of Jesus' blood and death. But what's more is that this reading gives us a challenge. It gives you a challenge today. When you read the Scriptures, no matter which book, no matter which chapter or verse, ask yourself a question. How does this particular chapter, verse, passage, sentence teach me about what Jesus has come to do for me? Because the truth is, when you ask yourself that question as you read through the Scriptures, Jesus opens them for you. He literally opens your minds and your heart will burn within you. And that's what we need. Because that is where Jesus is made known. Now, there's one little other thing that really needs to be brought out in this text. And that's what happens when they recognize Jesus. You see, Jesus is there bodily. But as soon as they recognize him in the breaking of the bread and in the word that he had preached to them, it is precisely at that moment that Jesus vanishes. Literally pulls a Houdini and disappears. Because the truth is, that's where God wants him to be found. Jesus wants you to find him in the Lord's Supper, in the Word, in baptism, because this is where he has promised to be. The truth is, we're all on a journey. I'm sure you've heard it called life's journey. And along the way, as a community, Jesus will draw near to you through the Scriptures. He'll speak to you, and you'll learn from him. And whether it is that you're traveling from place to place, or if you're lazing around home on a day off, or if you're working diligently, he will be with you through his word of promise, the word of promise that tells you all about his life, death, and resurrection for your forgiveness. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.